and welcome to the very first episode of the Two Tones for Season 2016. A new coach, a whole new spirit here at the Carlton Football Club, but one thing has remained unchanged amidst all the personnel changes, and that is the lineup of the Two Tones. Tony DeBolfo.
Lovely to be back, Tone. Happy New Year to you and to all the loyal listeners of the podcast. Lovely to be here for episode one. And my, haven't things changed? I think the last time we met, David Bowie was still alive and so was Alan Rickman. So it marches on, doesn't it?
A double blow. Talk about two giants. An ill wind,
but there you go. Here we are. We're alive and well, Tony. And as you say, the one constant around this place has been change, hasn't it? Because there's been so much of it since we last convened.
A lot of positive change. There's, I think, 15 changes to the playing group itself, a clean out of coaching staff and a raft of new appointments in that area. And I've got to say, Tone, over the period, there's a completely different vibe in this place. Icon Park is completely different. The way people are walking, there's chests puffed out. The membership figure alone pre-Christmas was staggering. I mean, there is a new wind blowing through Princes Park.
A perceptive analysis there, Tony, because, yes, I'm with you on that. I think the members and supporters to a man, woman and child understand and appreciate what Carlton has done, which, you know, in the history of the club really is unprecedented reinvent itself, start again and push forward with youth, you know, and there's been so much publicity about our young players that I'm sure we'll address later, that the members and supporters get it and they understand where Carlton is heading and they believe in where Carlton is heading and so they support Carlton. And
well,
it is exciting.
To coin a phrase, I can smell what we're cooking. And let's be honest about that. Now, we've got a lot to get through, Tone.
We have.
We haven't convened since late August. We were trying to work it out. September podcasts for the Two Tones have been rare as hen's teeth. But yes, we're looking to change that, obviously, for this year.
We want to push deep into the year this year, Tone, don't
we? Do we what? And let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But there is, as I said, a lot to talk about. We've got to start, first and foremost, with the reappointment of Mark Murphy as skipper. And if you want to see, I think, one of the best, most revealing and a really good probing interview done with him on carltonfc.com.au this morning by a new member of the Carlton media team with a very special Carlton connection.
Emily Angwin, who incidentally has a direct link.
And it's not the Carlton connection you might think with that surname.
No, it's Emily, inverted commas, no relation, closed inverted commas, Angwin. But she is related, Luca Ganani, our producer, only just advised, is related to one of the great pioneers of the Carlton Football Club, Lanty O'Brien, who I'm pretty sure stripped for the first ever Carlton game in the pre-VFA days of the 1860s.
Wow.
And was actually a member of Carlton's first committee. So there's probably a story in there somewhere just to follow that lineage through. But isn't it magnificent that Lanty's great, great, great granddaughter, Emily Angwin, should have the privilege of interviewing the Carlton captain, Mark Murphy. And look, there was never any doubt in my mind that Murph wasn't going to get the gig. He was always going to get the captaincy as far as I was concerned. And let's hope all the players to a man now get behind him as Carlton pushes into 2016.
Well, what you get a sense from in this interview, Tone, is how difficult the last 3 years has been as captain. And he makes a very strong case, I think, that morally he had earned the right as much as anything else. And he has grown into the role significantly. You can see how articulate he is in this interview and how much passion he has for the club and just how primed he is. It's like a coiled spring, and you get that from everyone in the playing group. They are ready to attack 2016.
That's very true, Tony. And it was a very revealing interview where he did tell Emily how hardened he was as a person, how energised he was as a player to push on, how hardened he was given, you know, the difficulties of these dark seasons, which he's been front and centre. And as a leader, he had to wear a lot of criticism, obviously. But, you know, the thing I'd like to say about Mark Murphy is, in my opinion, he's been a much maligned Carlton captain because he's the one that does put his body on the line. And I suspect over the years, for whatever reasons, he probably hasn't been afforded the protection he deserved from teammates.
Yep.
And I think that will change under Brendan Bolton's watch because Brendan Bolton is all about team and and I think we'll see strength in numbers. And I always think back to Hawthorn, you know, and I ask myself the question, you know, if Sam Mitchell, if someone took Sam Mitchell on, you'd sure enough see, you know, Hodge or Lewis running
it's
in.
It's like Officer Down.
Right. And I think that's what we've got to get happening here. And I think Brendan Bolton, you know, is impeccably placed to instill those sorts of values and responsibilities into the players now under his command.
Now, Murph said he did a shoulder or he's, you know, there was an incident with his shoulder in December. I'm hoping he wasn't trying to yank a half-price cashmere sweater out of somebody's hand at a David Jones Boxing Day sale. What exactly did he do, Tone?
Tone, it was basically a tidy-up of the shoulder in December, the legacy of shoulder reconstruction midway through 2015. So it was, a small setback for him. But as he revealed on the interview with Emily, he expects to probably resume the third NAB Cup week with a view to getting a game under the belt for round one. So he's on course. And I might say too that Mark Murphy, he looks felt, Tony. He's lost, to me, he looks like he's trimmed down. But across the board, this is real credit to Stuart Livingston, the strength coach. I made a note of this. There are a lot of players at the club now who are basically they've reinvented themselves in terms of how they look, physiologically speaking. A couple of players I've had to look at twice to actually recognise them. Mark Wiley's one that's just peeled it off. And all these players under Stewie's watch seem to have reinvented their core shape. So obviously, I guess that fits in with part of Brendan Bolton's plan. You know, maybe we're going to see, you know, a harder running Carlton team through 2016. But it is really fascinating to see how players have changed their physical dimensions, I suppose.
Now, Murph heads a council of elders, if you like, Tone, a seven-man leadership group.
Yes, very true, Tony. We've got, you know, the old stager Cade Simpson as vice captain.
What an endorsement, VC. That could easily read Victoria Cross.
it could indeed. 31 years young is Simo. Will obviously ably support his captain. Bryce Gibbs is in the leadership group. Andrew Walker is in the leadership group. First Indigenous player to 200 games this year for Carlton, hopefully, Tony.
Great.
Ed Curnow is there. Patrick Cripps, well, what a season he had. And Sam Doherty.
I love the inclusion of Sam Doherty.
Yes.
I'm thrilled with that.
A Carlton person through and through, grew up supporting the club, loves being here, and I think still pinches his cheeks that he's actually running out in the dark navy blue. So fantastic leadership group, and I'm sure all to a man will support their captain to the hilt.
They really will. The Patrick Cripps story continues just to, like the man himself, grow in stature. He's what, another centimetre taller? He's 92, 93 kilos.
93 without the stilettos, Tony.
Yeah.
And he's still growing. Look, and I mean, it's frightening when you think that this is a man who's, you know, playing midfield that has got Big Nick covered now.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
In terms of height and size. Just goes to show how much the game has changed in what it's probably 40 years since Big Nick last played. Mm. So, and of course, that extra season now is growing into a man, and I'd hate to be lining up on Patrick Cripps, the centre bounce, because I just think he's a sort of player that actually commands the football.
Mm.
Williams was like that.
Yes.
And I just think it's so exciting. As bad as 2015 was, for me, the green shoot that Chris Judd always talked about was Cripps, particularly after Judd's demise and with Mark Murphy going over with the shoulder. Cripps just stood tall and I dip my lid to Patrick Cripps. He's going to be a great player for the Carlton Football Club and has re-signed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So he's locked away and loves being here. So
and he's front and centre of marketing as well. You come into the foyer here at Icon Park and there you see him. He's just a great marketing tool for the club as well.
And he's such a pleasant fellow. You know, he'll talk to anyone and I just think Carlton is so fortunate that they've got the complete package here with Paddy Cripps. So what a player.
Can I just... now, I know this has been mentioned, but again, Emily interviewed Jakob Vytering.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Thank you. And mentioned the fact that, I guess obvious to everyone, he's an old soul. He's only 18. And I had to keep reminding myself of that. What an immensely level-headed young man he is. He's really impressive.
Really impressive. He's a sort of fellow, you know, walks into the place and you think, well, you know, the club's not going to have an ounce of trouble with this fellow for the next 15 years, you know. And probably a player that would coach himself, I would say. But as you say, Tony, a very measured person, very deliberate, calculating sort of a fellow, seems to take it all in his stride, doesn't seem to be flustered in any way, and again, is really enjoying the journey because for him and all those fellows from the National Draft of 2015, this is a journey, isn't it? It's a journey for the club.
Well, he pointed out his surname was Dutch, and of course I immediately thought of the great man, Bruce Doole. So can we set up some sort of academy in Holland if that's the calibre of man that the Dutch are giving us?
Yes, yes. Robert Klomp, I think, was one of them too. So, look, you know, he will be hopefully the mainstay of, you know, Carlton's back six from you know, here on in. I don't want to put too much pressure on the boy, but you'd have to think that he's going to be, you know, front and centre for the back half over the next how many years it may be.
And he'd be a very cool head down there, wouldn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. Such a great route of the play. You know, my exposure to Jakob Vytering has only been through the videos on the website, but it's magnificent to see how level-headed he is and how well he seems to read the game. Of course, you know, AFL footy, it's going to lift a notch or three. But I'm sure he'll have the wherewithal to find a way and be a great player for Carlton.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting story, that one. Tone, we have to turn our attention to the possible NAB Challenge lineup of the team. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, from my understanding, you know, there may be one or two players that probably won't be starters. We know Murph probably won't be there. But by and large, I think Brendan Bolton would be reasonably happy with the numbers that he has at his disposal. So, you know, I'd like to think that we're going to see some of the youth on show. We'll have to wait and see on that. But obviously, you know, Dale Thomas, whose 2015 was cruel in that first minute of the first game last year.
We got a brilliant 40 seconds out of it.
We did.
But he's happy with that.
Yes. But he's got through the summer unscathed, as has Matthew Cruiser, who has really impressed on the track. And I think this is a carry-on from that second half of last year where, again, we talked about Cripps earlier as, you know, something to cling to from 2015. Well, Cruiser's, you know, showing in that second half was, I think, would have warmed the hearts of all Carlton supporters. And there wasn't much to cling to, let's face it, last year. But you know, Matty Cruiser was something that we could all take a lot from. So hopefully they'll be there. They'll be there for the Hawthorn game. And, you know, touch wood, they'll get through unscathed through the course of the season proper.
If you missed it as well, carltonfc.com.au, Daisy gives a great interview at the Carlton Family Day. He answers some tough questions, but gave a great account of himself. And again, you know, he's just another player who's looking forward to making a big statement this year.
Yes, all players have their own reasons to impress, don't they? You know, and I mean, let's face it, Dale Thomas is under pressure. You know, I mean, he came to Carlton under a blaze of publicity, and so far, it'd be fair to say, it hasn't worked. So, but he's what, 28? Maybe I think it's same age as Mark Murphy. So. You know, you'd like to hope the best years are still ahead. Yeah. And he's given himself every opportunity to perform at his utmost for the Carlton Football Club. because of the way he's conducting himself through the summer.
Now, Tone, of course, NAB Challenge, first game, Carlton v Hawthorn Aurora Stadium, Brendan Bolton's old club. We'll talk about what sort of statement he might want to make against his former employer. Not that he left with any bad blood, of course, but you always want to make a statement like that. The changes he has wrought over the summer, can you detail some of them for us? Because they have been dramatic.
Look, it's a great question, Tony, and I'm going to answer that with in somewhat general terms, because I think Brendan Bolton's impact on the place has been across the board. I think he's tried to bring a new culture to the football team, which seems to have permeated through the place and has been embraced by every player at this club, and it's one that binds all the players together, you know, as a core. And so effective has that impact been on the players. And I think that sort of culture is now being adopted by every other area of the club's operation. So what we've seen is not only a change to the, you know, the modus operandi of the playing personnel, but also to everyone that actually works within the walls of the Carlton Football Club. And it's a holistic approach. And just on a personal level, I'd like to say something about Brendan Bolton. I've only just met him, like everyone here at Carlton, so I can't say that I know him too well. So this is just a personal observation, that I've met a lot of people in football and in life who are passionate about their area, you know, and their loves and what have you. But I would describe Brendan Bolton as fanatical. Yeah. I think he's a fanatic.
Right.
I think he's the sort of person that lives, breathes, eats and sleeps football. And when he was appointed, I had the great pleasure of sitting down to him, I think probably for the first interview here at Carlton, and I asked him about his DNA, and he related this story about how, as a schoolboy, he can recall his father taking him off to school in Tassie, dropping him off, and as he got out of the car, his father saying to him, "Oh, I've got to go to bloody work now." And he said, "I thought about that all day at school and realised that my father didn't enjoy what he was doing with his working life.
Yeah.
He'd been at the same job for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he said, when he went home, he questioned his father about it. You know, and his father just replied by saying, "Son, whatever you do in life, whatever you do, make sure you enjoy it and the rewards will then follow."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, at that time in my life, I realised that I love football and I love the game, and that's the career path that I've chosen because it's something that I love." So that sort of tells you a little bit about the sort of person that Brendan Bolton is. And I think he's also a very effervescent, energetic character.
Yeah.
It's rubbed off, you know, on everyone with whom he comes in contact. So, look, time will tell. You know, I think of Brendan Bolton a little bit like, you know, Jacob Vietering or Harry McKay or Charlie Kerner. You know, they're starting out and, you know, the challenges will come, you know, and they have to confront the challenges, but that's fine. But you have to say the Carlton Football Club is in great hands. And I do think of David Parkin also when I think of Brendan Bolton. You know,
in what terms?
The Hawthorn connection, yeah, you know, and what he brought to Carlton.
And the emphasis on education would be another one?
Very much so. You know, Brendan's a teacher. And when I say David Parkin, I probably refer to David Parkin Mark II when he came back in 91 at a time when the club was on its knees and he had to make tough decisions on players like Rhys Jones and Jim Buckley. But he took Carlton forward, and you know, within 4 years of 91, Kernahan's on the podium, you know, holding up the silverware after one of our greatest all-time grand final victories. So I think we're on the journey, and it's an exciting journey, and it's just magnificent that Brendan Bolton's leading the charge, because I think at Carlton, in Brendan Bolton, we're in good hands.
Just anecdotally, I'm getting, I think there was a comment from Dylan Buckley that he said words to the effect that I've real trouble concentrating except when he's speaking.
Yes. And Dylan, you know, he'd be, you know, he's a sort of bloke, probably be easily distracted. But for him to say something like that, it gives you an idea of the command that Brendan Bolton has on his own. And everyone at the club, you know, Luca will vouch for this, that the first day Brendan Bolton walked in, the media department were here and invited us down to the cafe for a chinwag over a cuppa. That was his, at his instigation. And it for all of us, it made us feel pretty good that he should do that. But that's the sort of fellow he is. Mm. He realised that the people here at this club believe in the club, and we're all in this together. And I think it's rubbing off on everyone, you know, on and off the field who has any allegiance to the Carlton Football Club.
There's an old saying that no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy. And it's all great now. The new lineup is yet to be tested in battle. What has Bolts revealed about the scale of the challenge that he's inherited?
Well, I don't think he's under any illusions, but I think what he says is that, you know, that he believes that he's in a great position in his evolution as a football person to be able to take a group of young players along with him and to teach them, you know, the standards and the expectations demanded of AFL footballers at this level. I suppose he's come from a great place in Hawthorn. We have to acknowledge, you know, how well that club is conducting itself both on and off the field. And I think he'll imbue these players with the wherewithal that they need to survive on and off the field at AFL level. The demands will be great, you know, particularly on the young blokes, that they'll experience, you know, situations they've never experienced before in their lives. And but I think in the coach they've got the person that can get them through and help them learn a little along the way. I really believe that under Brendan Bolton, the players will come out as better people for the experiences that they'll endure along the way. And what can I say? I can't add too much more because, as I say, it's only been a short period into the tenure of the new coach, but has he made an impression, you know,
compare it to the impression that Mick Malthouse made, and the excitement this time around is more palpable.
Yes.
There just seems to be a deeper level of trust in Bolton. And not only that, but the process by which he arrived at the club too was so exemplary.
Yes.
on behalf of the club.
That's
too.
Very true. Another thing that just came into my mind as you were talking, Tony, too, and I mentioned the Parkin link, was that in 1995, that premiership year, one of the important decisions that David Parkin made was to, and this was through the then sports psychologist Anthony Stewart, was to empower the players themselves with an input into where the team was heading and where the team should go. And I think that Brendan Bolton has probably done the same here to encourage all the players to buy into where the club wants to be or where it wants to go. And I think that inclusivity is probably bringing more out of the players that... I guess there's a lot of players that probably... Maybe they've surprised themselves, you know, players that might have otherwise sat back or, you know, introverts that may not have contributed to discussion are now finding the wherewithal to actually, you know, make an input into where Carlton's heading and having a real say on what should be happening on and off the field. So,
well, you set the goals and then make them own that success when they reach them.
He's encouraging the players to take ownership, and so they should. You know, they're representing the club and they should have a say.
Look, it's exciting times, and no doubt Bolts will be tested by adversity, but it won't be 2015. That's all we asked for. And it's going to be an exciting year. I think you can honestly say that.
Well, we're going into the unknown in many respects, aren't we? And that's the exciting part. You know, who knows what the twists and turns will be and how the players will react, you know, how the coaches will react. They're all new. They've all coached, but none of them at AFL level other than those five games of Brendan Bolton had as caretaker.
Yeah.
So the challenge confronting this entire group of people is immense, but that is the exciting part about this. And I think the members and supporters appreciate and understand the decisions that have been made for the long-term betterment of the Carlton Football Club. And my view is that they're on board for the ride.
Yeah.
And because I think they believe there is a destination to this journey, and it's the destination we all want to get to. So
Well, speaking of that, there's plenty of room on the Carlton bus. The club record, 30,000 members before Christmas. That's the first time in the club's history. That is a magnificent effort and a magnificent endorsement of, like I said, the due diligence that the club pursued in appointing Bolton and the changes that were made. The club is currently aiming to hit 51,000 members before round one, and we're urging all who sport the old dark navy blues to be officially hashtag bound by blue.
Well, we want them on board, Tony, as you say, and I think everything that's coming out of Carlton at the moment is positive and upbeat, and I firmly believe that 51,000 membership target is attainable.
Yep.
But we need them all on, don't we, Tony? You're either with us or against us. We want you with us.
That's true. You think for the first time, I can't remember since when, it'd be 10 years, a game is actually being played here at Princess Park against Essendon.
Very true. That'll be interesting. I'm sure there'll be a bit of feeling in that match. I don't know. I can't speak for what's going on down at... down the other end of the city, but they tell me there's been a bit on.
It's been a quiet summer, hasn't it?
It has been, but look, we look forward to trashing the sash, don't we? Back at Princess Park, it'll be great. It's inner city Melbourne teams going hammer and tongs. And
so yes, that's what we're saying. Turn up and be a member by the time you walk through the gates here at Icon Park to see a game on the sacred turf of Princess Park. What better way to see it than actually to be a signed up member of Carlton and help us reach that 51,000?
Very true, Tony. Might even see you for a beer pre-match down at the Great Northern.
Oh, you can twist my arm, Tony, see how you go. So remember, the next game, Carlton v Hawthorn, Aurora Stadium, 7:10 PM, and you can watch it on Fox Footy. This has been episode number one, we hope, of many. We hope we do go deep into September. Let's not count our chickens or eggs or whatever.
I've pitched it 25 episodes, Tone.
Yeah, good work, Tone. Be optimistic. It beats the alternative. This has been the Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo, myself, Tony Moclair. Episode one for 2016. We will catch you next week. Go Blues.